Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you as always. And we got Joel Barker back on the show. Joel is our good friend, the author of a number of books, including Five Regions of the Future. His new film is Innovation at the Verge. I encourage you to check out all the things he has. I'm going to get him to tell us his website. And Joel, you've always got some exciting projects that you're working on that my people, my audience, my peeps out here that can take advantage of. And I'd like for you to talk to us about that, please.
Well, a couple of things I think they might be interested in. Number one, I always invite everyone to come to my website, joelbarker.com, and go to the Good News blog, because there I'm updating that on a weekly basis in terms of stuff that's happening around the world. But I've got two projects right now that I'm kind of really happy about. Number one, the film, Innovation at the Verge. We've had some people who said, can you tell me a little bit more about that before I buy the film? And so on the 25th of May, I'm going to run a one-hour explanatory overview on why innovation at the Verge is so important and actually give some stories on clients and what has resulted from them applying the idea to become to get new innovations. To find out about that and this other thing I'll talk about in a minute, they just go to starthrower.com, www.starthrower.com. And the time and the thing, they can sign up for it there. The other thing that's happening on June 3rd, and this is one that costs money, but boy, the people who've gone through it have given us very nice praise in terms of the value added, but it's called Tactics of Innovation, How to Get Buy-In for New Ideas. And Debbie Kennedy and myself, both of us who have done some pretty significant work on innovation,
right,
have combined our two sets of knowledge into one so that we can help people figure out how to introduce their new ideas so that they get accepted. And again, they can find out about that at starthrower.com.
So check it out, folks. And I'm probably going to be on that May 25th program there. I'll be listening in on that. So congratulations on that. Thank you for making that available. Joel, let's move over and talk about some of the other things that you're seeing coming at us in the future. One of the things is, and this is something you and I have debated quite a bit on the air and off the air, and this is the whole issue of climate change, global warming, whatever topic, whatever title you want to put on things.
Yep.
And my point has always been that for the United States to put unilateral restrictions on itself wouldn't significantly change whatever impact humans are making on the environment. The most that it would do would be to make the United States uncompetitive against China, which is not even coming to the party or to the discussion about climate change.
And India's in there too, by the way.
Yep, exactly.
India burns a lot of coal. Yeah, this article that I read, which I thought just says something about what happens when they hire a Nobel Prize winner? You know, Stephen Chu was made head of Department of Energy, and everybody said, well, you know, it's just you won't be able to do much. And he is just making huge changes. And one of the pieces that I think is brilliant is that he said, I'm not going to get involved in a multilateral, let's get 100 countries involved in here. I'm going to go set up a treaty between the United States and China. And if we both do our thing, we can dramatically affect the CO2 production, and it's just two countries. And so that's his strategy, and I thought, you know, here's a physicist who sees it clearer than anybody else saw it, because he answers your point. He said, no, China, we're going to get them in this. We're going to be the world leaders. China wants to be seen as a leader. We are seen as a leader. He put the two together. He said, everybody will follow, and I think it's a brilliant idea.
China is an environmental nightmare. It's my understanding that some of the things that are happening over there, we know about the rivers that are polluted. It's my understanding that there are maybe a couple thousand coal mine fires in China. Have you heard anything about that?
Well, here's what I know about China. They have put in place and are enforcing progressive laws that are becoming more and more climate friendly every year. So that, yes, they do have big problems because they're starting way back, right?
Yep.
But their rate of change is sensational. And so, for instance, all their cars that are being built in China right now are required to meet higher standards than
right.
ours are. So what you're seeing is China's, you know, and they're pragmatists. I mean, you know, they know you can't do it all at once, but they also know if you put a sharp enough ramp on it, things will happen. Because they see what you have said, Jim, which is whoever comes up with this technology, clean coal or whatever
yep.
it is, can sell it to the rest of the world.
And own that sector of the marketplace for
you
the next century.
It. You got it.
I've said that a long time.
Stephen's basically saying the United States and China will own that sector
well,
because we're going to focus on it.
They've got to do more than that, though, Joel. They've got to get rid of the two-cycle engines.
Oh, yeah.
They've
right.
got too many. Those things spew out 25% of raw fuel.
Right.
They got millions of those things. They got a lot of problems over there, and I think I'm very excited about what you're telling us about what Secretary Chu is doing, but I want him to keep doing it, and that's what we've got to do. Though we can't afford, as my dad would have said it, we can't afford
yeah.
to do our thing unilaterally.
Right.
It puts us at too much of a disadvantage.
I think when you think about the largest nation in the world and the richest nation in the world is a bilateral agreement. That's a
yep.
pretty powerful agreement.
That's a good future to start with, and I'm glad to hear that that's something that's coming down the pike, and we'll keep watching on that, and I know you'll keep reporting it to us. When we come back after these messages, there's something going on in the world of plastics. Remember the graduate? And the guy said to Benjamin, one word, plastics. When we come back, Joel Barker's got some good news on what he calls feel-good plastic. It's going to be part of your life coming up real soon. Maybe of all the things we talked about, maybe this is quicker than anything. It's 10 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Joel Barker's our guest. We'll be right back.
To the velvet, put underground.
Bringing us back 7 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out when you get a chance. I hope you'll go there and use it to your advantage. We got lots of stuff there that will help you with your small business. Smallbusinessadvocate.com. And if you're on Twitter and you want to follow me there, I'm at Jim Blassingame. Joel Barker is our guest, our good friend, longtime Brain Trust member, author of many books on what's coming at us in the future, including five regions of the future. And your website is joelbarker.com, right, Joel?
It is. And I haven't written many books. I've written three.
Three. Well, that's many. That's more than two. That's many.
That's true.
And he
that's
sold
true.
Something under a billion copies galactically. Joel, talk to us about this feel-good plastic.
Well, one of the things that has been long in the pipeline has been organic plastics. And the biggest problem has been plastic that's strong enough to both take a lot of pressure. So, for instance, you could eat
well, wait, Joe. Tell us what an organic plastic is.
Organic plastic is a plastic that's made from a material that's produced by plants or animals, basically, instead of made out of petrochemicals.
Renewable plastic.
You got it. Biodegradable, renewable, hopefully from a source that
right.
is sustainable, right?
Right.
Well, Metabolics, that's the name of the company, and they're out of Massachusetts. And they are another spinoff of MIT. You know, MIT, I just love to see the list of new technologies that MIT
yep.
is behind.
Pretty
but
good
anyway,
little school up there, isn't it?
it's a world-shaping school.
Yeah.
That's what we have to appreciate. In this country, we have a world-shaping university, and it's doing it all the time. Anyway, the Metabolics has taken a bacteria, microbe, that eats sugar. And as it eats sugar, it excretes PHA, which is a plastic.
Hmm.
The plastic is strong enough to make, you know, food wear out of it, so you can bite on it and stuff
wow.
like that. It takes high temperatures, and yet if you throw it in the compost pile, 2 months later it's completely gone. And
wow.
it doesn't just break into little things, which some of our older disposable plastic, you know, it broke into teeny
right.
little pieces,
right.
but it didn't break down. This absolutely breaks down and becomes compost in your soil.
Wow.
So,
well, I'll tell you what, if that were available in the stores, I would buy it.
And the
I would choose
yep.
it.
the article said, people said, I'd pay more for that.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
And so guess who? Rubbermaid, Newell Rubbermaid, is bringing out their new Papermate pen made out of this plastic. And they said the demand, just when they mentioned it, people said, oh, we got to carry that.
Right.
So what you said absolutely mirrors what they are seeing in the marketplace.
I would do it in a heart because it really bothers me. It does bother me when I hold something made of plastic, and I know that when it goes in the ground in the landfill, if it's not recycled, it's going to have a half-life of 500 years.
Yeah, exactly. So this is, and I think your attitude is, in fact, almost becoming the standard attitude. If I had to pay a little bit more, but I know this won't do this to the environment, I'll pay the nickel extra.
Uh-huh.
And Papermate said, given their situation, it adds like 2-3% of the cost of their manufacture to do it. So it's close enough,
right?
That, you know that they can.
They can pay a 1-2% more to make it and charge me 5% more to buy it, and everybody gets a good deal.
You got it, and everybody's happy.
Yeah.
So that's
very
interesting. As you
and when does that come? When do you think that would be readily available in the marketplace?
It looks like paper. I'm just checking the article. I think Papermate's bringing it out this fall.
I mean, could I start getting? Would I be able to get my milk in this in a container like this?
Well, my guess is it'll move from small items to larger items as the volume goes up.
Right.
Yeah. But it doesn't say what their volume.
We don't know what it's going to do with food, but things that you just use would be a different have a different standard. All right.
It looks
quickly,
like they're concentrating on plastic that has to be strong,
right.
and have a spectrum of temperature.
I got you. Yeah. Quickly, what about this insurance by the mile?
Isn't that great? A company called Mile Meter out of Texas.
My mother could save a lot of money. She doesn't drive very much.
That's exactly what they said. They said they can sell you car insurance for $60 for 2,000 miles.
Wow!
But what I think is really cool about it is it's changing the paradigm of how you buy insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Buy it by the mile. It also creates potential. The paradigm for how does an electric car pay for its road wear? Because right now we do with gasoline.
Right.
So all of a sudden, maybe the deal is you just have to tell what your mileage is per year, and you get a
bill.
That's a bill that says that's your payment for the roads.
Yeah.
But if you drive 6,000 miles instead of 60,000 miles, it's a smaller number.
Well, it's not even pulling on the road; it's pulling on the infrastructure on the grid too.
Oh yes, absolutely.
We got to have some payback to the grid.
Absolutely. Yep.
Hey, Joel, give us the website one more time, please.
JoelBarker.com.
And don't forget, folks, all the things that Joel's got coming up, especially the 25th. Of May project on the innovation at the Verge. Don't want to miss that. And then the June 2nd, is that right?
June 2nd, yeah.
Check that one out, too, with Debbie. Hey, thanks, Joel, for being here. Good job today.
Take care.
See you next time. Joel Barker, got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.